Let's start the program off then, as we usually do on the third week of the month, by introducing you to our author of the month. And today, I'm very pleased to say that our author is celebrating 30 years in the writing business. She's also a Sunday Times best-selling author, and she's just published her latest book. Timing couldn't be better. Erica James, welcome to Community Connections and Read on the Radio.
Oh, thank you. Very good to be with you this morning.
30 years. How did it all start?
I was 36 when my first book, A Breath of Fresh Air, was published. And so, and when I look back at that time, I think how young I was. but I didn't, it's weird. I was, I'm now 66 for anyone who's not very good with numbers. But I look back and I think, oh gosh, I was so young and naive. But also, I felt so old at the time because, I was bringing up my two sons on my own, and there was just so much going on. First book being published, and I felt like a rabbit caught in the headlamps. It was a weird time in my life, really.
Had you always wanted to be a writer, but it just found that that was the right time to start?
Yes, that's interesting because it's always the right time to start because that's why you've had the thought that something has triggered the process. And I started writing purely as a hobby, and I didn't realize it at the time. It's only with hindsight I was writing because I was very unhappy. My marriage was going wrong, but it's a long time before you really recognize that it's going horribly wrong. And so there's a certain amount of denial. And so I wrote that very first book, A Breath of Fresh Air, as a piece of escapism, really. And out of all of my books, it's the most lighthearted. And I think that was because I needed that sort of uplift at that time. And, with everyone, it's the same. It's always subconsciously what's going on, really, that is so important.
Now, with the breath of fresh air, the idea for that, was that bubbling in your mind for some time, or did you decide, I am going to write a book, I'm going to sit down and see what comes onto the paper?
Well, I did make a New Year's resolution, a New Year's Eve resolution to write a book. And I did, but I wrote a book. My publishers don't actually know this. I have a hidden manuscript, which was my very, very first attempt at writing a book, and I've always kept it. It's in this room that I'm sitting in at the moment, hidden, and it was my apprenticeship, if you will. I read about how to write books, and I went on a course, and it just doing it. And I always say to people who, when they say, "Oh, I'd love to write a book," just do it. And my children were very young at that time, and I was, just snatching maybe an hour and a half here and there when I could write it, and I loved doing it. And then I went on this course. Showed me the error of my ways, perhaps, and I started writing what became my first published book, A Breath of Fresh Air. And the idea for, gosh, trying to remember now where the idea came from. It starts in Brussels, which was where I was living at the time, and then quickly moves to Cheshire, which was where I then ended up living with my sons. And yeah, the first book they often say is there's some autobiographical stuff going on in there, and there was. But I definitely, yeah, that first book, the very, very first book, which no one will ever, ever, ever see, because it's actually quite different to what I, have written since. But I have to keep it because it's so important to me. Maybe when I'm dead, my sons will unearth it and rewrite it.
You might have a posthumous bestseller there, Erica.
Who knows?
One of the questions we get asked quite a lot on the program here is how, when you write your first book, you go about even getting it published. And back in the days that you were writing, say 30 years ago, there wasn't an internet, there wasn't self-publishing. How hard was it for you then to find somebody who, if you like, take a punt on you?
Well, yes, exactly that. I went on a writing course, which was in Yorkshire, and with the Arvin Foundation. And the two tutors on that course, they were running the course for commercial fiction, popular fiction. And I knew that that was what I enjoyed reading and what I wanted to write. And that's always a very important point to flag up for aspiring authors. Know what you enjoy reading and know what it is you want to write. You know, where would you see it on the shelves in the bookshop, for instance? Anyway, so I went on this course. It was a residential course for 5 days, and it was amazing. It was a massive turning point. The two tutors were so amazingly encouraging. They were just wonderful. And one of them stayed in touch with me afterwards and encouraged me to have a go at doing short stories, which I did, and I won a prize and I came runner up in another competition. And then she said to me, "Right, okay, you've proved you can do that. Now get back to the book." And so I did as I was told. And months and months and months later, she was in touch again just to see how I was getting on. And she said, "Now, I've got a fabulous new agent, and I think you should send him some chapters." Well, I was dead against it, absolutely dead against it. But I did, thankfully, and the agent loved what I sent. And I've been with that agent ever since. So, you know, his assistant read it, or read, you know, those chapters I sent, and said to him, "I think you should have a look at this." And he did. And then got back to me, and no emails then. It was a letter in the post. And yeah, so and then he gave it to an editor at Orion Publishing, and they they wanted it. So in some ways I was very lucky. Well, the stars just aligned at exactly the right moment in my life.
At that point, when you tentatively sent the manuscript in, possibly against your better judgment.
Five chapters. That was
Oh,
the
sorry.
advice at the time. Three or five chapters, depending on the length, and a brief covering letter.
If you could have known then that sitting here today, you would have sold over 5 million books. I can't even get my head around how that would feel to you.
No, I tend not to think. I'm not very good with numbers anyway, so I tend not. It's all about the words and the story for me. And I think if you think about those things too much, a bit like, you know, it's like riding a bike, you'd fall off. Because you've just got to, I just focus on the book I'm currently writing, keep staring ahead, don't look either side, keep going. And that's what I've done. You know, I've written 20, this, you know, The Forever Home is my 27th novel in 30 years. And for each book, I've just had the same attitude. Okay, these are my characters. Off we go with the new book and just keep staring ahead.
Well, as the consummate professional, you've brought us round to your latest book, which was published in February. It's called Forever Home. For those of my listeners who maybe haven't stumbled across it yet because it is so new, tell us a little bit about it because it's quite a feel-good book, isn't it?
Yes, my books tend to have that feel-good factor. That's not to say there isn't some heartbreak along the way. There always is. I am known for killing characters in my stories. No, so this book set in the Cambridgeshire countryside, sort of on the edge of Cambridge, and it's set in what was a grand country house that has had many guises throughout history, and it has recently been converted into luxury apartments. And I actually saw this online when I was on Rightmove, as you do. And I just immediately, when I saw this place, I thought, which wasn't in, you know, on the outskirts of Cambridge, it was somewhere else. And I just thought, oh, this is a magnificent setting for a book. And so for my story, I've got three women who move in at different times. And Cassie she's approaching her 40th birthday, and she's got a wonderful partner. She's got a grown-up daughter, but she's got this shadow from her past of her ex-husband. And she just, nobody can hold a grudge like Cassie, basically. And she knows it's not a good thing, but she won't let that past experience go. Meanwhile, Nina, she has been widowed for a couple of years, and she is still coming to terms with being on her own. But not only is she coping with her own grief, she has to try and manage her mother-in-law's grief, which is no easy task. And then there's Venetia, who moves in, and she's 79, and she's seen quite a bit of life. And she's moving in or moving back to this place where I'm not going to say the hows and the whys, but she's closing the circle on her life. And yeah, so well, anyway, it's the, you know, how these three women become really good friends and how they help one another with all their various things that are going on within their families and their relationships.
It's called Forever Home. It's by Erica James, our author of the month today. And of course, I'm assuming, Erica, it's available in all good bookshops online and everywhere else you'd normally buy your fiction.
Absolutely.
I need to ask this question, Erica. Is there another one bubbling away at the moment?
Oh goodness, yes, indeed. I'm halfway through the final draft of book number 28. No spoilers. No, I'm not going to give any clues or anything, but yes.
Well, more power to your pen, or I suppose it's keyboard these days, isn't it? Erica, if my listeners would like to find out more about you, you have a website, don't you?
Yes, I do. And there's always Facebook and also Instagram.
And the address of your website is ericajames.com. Erica, congratulations on 30 years in the business. Here's to 30 more.
Oh, really?
Erica, thank you so much for being our author of the month and the very best of luck with Forever Home.
Thank you so very much.